Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast. All right, so I have insomnia, but I've never slept better. And what's changed? Just a pillow. It's had such a positive impact on my life. And of course, I'm talking about MyPillow. I fall asleep faster, I stay asleep longer, and now you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-919-6090. Use the promo code Hannity, and Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, has the special four-pack. Now, you get 40% off two MyPillow premiums and two go-anywhere pillows. Now, MyPillow is made here in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com right now or call 800-919-6090, promo code Hannity, to get Mike Lindell's special four-pack offer. You get two MyPillow premium pillows and two go-anywhere pillows for 40% off, and that means once those pillows arrive, you start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep that you've been craving and you certainly deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Hannity. You will love this pillow. Have you seen the eclipse tonight? I mean, any of you? A buddy of mine down in Nashville just sent me a picture, and I just tweeted it out. It's so beyond amazing when you see it from that perspective. I actually went out with my little cup and a piece of paper. Why are you all laughing at me? And we come to you from our new hidden palatial studios today. It's sort of, it's not quite the Mark Levin bunker, but it's, you know, we've taken real strong security precautions now, and we are now in a place that could never be found in a million years. You got to admit that this is a pretty dungeon-like place at this point. 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of this extravaganza, be a part of the program here today. We got a lot coming up. All right, what do you do about this Senator Nadal that is calling for the assassination, hoping the president gets assassinated? We'll get to that in the course of the program. We're going to talk about the Boston rally in particular this weekend and the way some people have reacted to some of my tweets on it and the president's tweets on it. I just think you're missing the point dramatically. And so we'll get to that today. And we have an update on Senator Grassley is now saying what we have been saying, that we can't have a, you know, we have to have equal justice under the law. We can't have a dual justice system. You can't have one bit of justice for the Clintons and laws just for the Clintons and then laws for the rest of us. So we'll get into all of that in the course of the program today. You know, it's pretty amazing. Well, right now in New York, it's about 35%. Here's what you do with the eclipse. I know it's probably late for a lot of you, but you take a cup, you put a hole in it, and then you have a piece of paper. You're not supposed to look directly at it, I'm sure, because otherwise it can hurt your retina. I'm sure some people will be doing it and saying, it's fine, and not listen to those that warn you against it. But I wouldn't recommend it. But anyway, so we did it, and it was just maybe a little sliver, and then it went up to about 35% maybe coverage. But my friend in Nashville, they got 100% coverage. I just tweeted it out at Sean Hannity if you want to take a look at it. I'm sure there'll be pictures all over the place if you want to look at that today. I don't think this happens again for how many hundred years. It's just, I mean, if you use a telescope, cameras, and, you know, protective glasses, obviously they have those. There are a bunch of viewing spots in different places from Oregon to South Carolina. And Nashville in particular was a good day, good place to watch this. From what I understand. But anyway, some people are up and is treating this like this is the end of time. And I would remind them that no hour does any man knoweth that hour that it's going to, in fact, occur. But there's different maps out there. If you kind of missed your time, I can't help you. But anyway, this doesn't happen, obviously, very often. The moon has not shown this much shade on the U.S. since 1918. That was the country's last coast-to-coast total eclipse. The U.S. mainland has not seen a total solar eclipse since 1979, and even then, only five states in the Northwest. Well, let me see. I got to get this right here. Well, only five states in the Northwest experienced total darkness. Now, scientists said today the total eclipse cast a shadow. It would race through 14 states, entering near Lincoln City, Oregon, at 1:16 Eastern Daylight Time, moving diagonally across the heartland over Casper, Wyoming, Illinois, Nashville, Tennessee, which is the picture my buddy sent me, and then exiting near Charleston, South Carolina, which just about happened a few minutes ago, so that's probably the end of that. But anyway, it's pretty cool, and you see people getting out there, and you have these solar eclipse parties I think people have been having. It's been somewhat, you know, hazy in New York at this particular time. All right, so I want to go to this weekend, and I want to go to what the events in Boston, if I can, for a little bit. And I saw all of what you saw this weekend. I saw a number of people that were protesting, and they were, you know, in the thousands. I think one estimate said 15,000. I'm not good at crowd estimates, so I'm not getting into that stupid argument that comes up every time. It's neither here nor there. An overwhelming crowd. And the president tweeted out this week, and I want to applaud the many protesters in Boston who are speaking out against bigotry and hate. Our country will soon come together as one. Now, I was out a lot of Saturday, and I did some catching up. I guess it was early Sunday morning. I had to get up super early on Sunday, and then I got up even extra early, and I just started looking at social media, pulling up the things that I had missed the day before. And I sent out a couple of tweets on my own. I said, amen. You know, the overwhelming number of peaceful protesters yesterday speaking out against hatred make America proud, great, and strong. And I've been saying it all in the last week, and I've said it my whole career, you know, that all week Americans find racism and white supremacy evil and repugnant. And people peacefully speaking out against evil is a good thing. And I will say this, I am annoyed at some people and their reaction to it for a lot of different reasons. Because one of my big arguments last week about President Trump and the press conference he held on Tuesday, I went through a entire history of him over the years, so many different times, again and again and again. Hang on. Saying there that he finds such... He even said it on Saturday when the Charlottesville issue came up. And he said it many times in the course of last week. And he said it many times over the course of the campaign. And he said it many times over the years as we went back and we actually got a history of it all. And we did what the media wouldn't do. And that's actually give context and texture to everything that was said. And what really frustrates me is that when you have the media that has a narrative, the media narrative, they never, ever want to go against what their narrative is. And I pointed out every 2 to 4 years, you get this false narrative. Republicans, you're like them. Black churches are going to burn, according to the Democratic Party in Missouri, a radio ad that they had run, or the 2000 James Byrd ad, or all the things that we played last week. And if Donald Trump ever invited a group that had chanted, what do we want, dead cops, when do we want them now, to the White House, you know what the media reaction would be. But that was the case of Barack Obama. Those group's leaders were invited to the White House. And by the way, when you listen to the tape, it was like shouting in a huge crowd chanting, what do we want? Dead cops. When do we want it? Now. It wasn't just small. But what it drives me insane, because liberals, the left in this country, they every single election year try to divide this country. Al Gore screaming, you know, with a different tone and a different cadence before a predominantly African-American audience. Republicans have the wrong agenda for African-Americans. They don't even want to count you in the census. Really? Or the things that Hillary said. And I've got examples of Obama. Then I got Hillary and I got Bill Clinton saying the Obama campaign played the race card against him. It's neither here nor there. It is their 101. It is what they do every single solitary election season. Republicans are racist, sexist, misogynistic, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, on and on and on. And if you look right now at the Democratic Party, look, I'm the first to say Republicans got a mess on their hands, and they've literally got September, October, November, and a couple of weeks in December to turn this around and get their act together and do their job and keep their promises. So they've got a mountain of work ahead of them. And look, with the president getting rid of regulations, that's a great start. President opening up energy, that's a great start. The president's executive orders, that's a great start. Neil Gorsuch is a great start. They had a great fail on Obamacare and repeal and replace. But they better get the economy right, because that is exactly what impacts the Americans in Wisconsin and in Michigan and Ohio and in Pennsylvania and North Carolina and Missouri and Florida and every other state in between. And if you don't get those jobs, although the president has done a good job enticing companies, corporations to build their factories back here and not outsource them to other countries. But I'm going to say this. Now, look, I'm not going to venture a guess what the political views are of the people in Boston. We know it's a pretty liberal state. I lived on the Massachusetts border for 5 years when I lived in Rhode Island. It's a beautiful, beautiful city, Boston, I got to tell you. And it's a fun place. And I loved going there. And I love the people there. I just hate their baseball team. And because I'm a Yankee fan. And putting that aside, and I don't like their hockey team either. Just saying. But if somebody is going to speak out against racism, hatred, and bigotry, which is what they say they were doing there. I'm putting aside, because I looked through everywhere I could, and I didn't even see what was said at, quote, the free speech rally. And I was told conciliatory things were said there. I didn't see it, so I can't comment on it intelligently. And I got somebody that I know and like and respect actually said the same thing to me. But putting that aside, the people there, they were speaking out against something that is insidious, something that is evil, something that is literally, it goes against the foundation of what good, decent, honorable, conscience-bearing human beings believe. And that is that racism and bigotry and hatred and white supremacy is wrong. As the president has said over the course of his life, in the course of the campaign, and as he said multiple times last week, the media doesn't want to hear that part. If he doesn't say it exactly right, they're going to jump on him. And here's the best part about the people in Boston. They did it. The 99% did it peacefully. The 99% did it respectfully. The 99%, by being peaceful and respectfully, they did it effectively. And for that, they deserve to be applauded. There were certain incidences that I saw on social media that really impressed me. At one point, there was a kid. I'm pretty sure he was a minority. I don't remember. It's a human being. You know, identity politics has never been my thing because we're all Americans. But anyway, so a young kid has a Make America Great hat again, walking through a crowd of the protesters, and there's some people that started to give this young man a hard time. And then the overwhelming majority of other protesters, hey, knock it off. Leave this guy alone. And no violence. Leave him alone. And they're like adamant. There were other occasions where I saw that there were some people. Now, you did have the clashes with the police, the Antifa people, and I believe, according to all the reports, some Black Lives Matters, but they were a tiny percentage. They were there. They wanted trouble. They confronted the police. And what an amazing job the Boston police did. And what an amazing job the Boston mayor did. And it shows that you can have people protest for a right cause, do it peacefully, and do it effectively. And then you've got, you know, there was one incident where, you know, somebody was escorted by police to be protected from some of these Antifa people. We got Antifa people cursing out some Trump supporters. So that all happened. You got an Antifa person yelling at a Black female officer. You're supposed to be on our side. And we got some of the sounds of Antifa. Hang on, guys, hang on 1 second. We'll get to that later. And I'm just saying to you, that wasn't the 99%. That 1% went there for trouble. The police handled it perfectly. The city handled it perfectly. And the 99% stood up for what's right peacefully. I think that makes America greater, America stronger. And that is, if you have a conscience and a soul, you agree with the notion that we're all God's children in that sense. And that we really are all Americans, and that it doesn't matter if you're a liberal or a conservative or a Republican or Democrat. When you see racism, hatred, white supremacy, you should speak out. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. 800-941-SEAN. And I thought the president did the right thing. As we roll along, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN. May have little minor glitches today across the Sean Hannity Show network as we have built a brand new palatial hidden studio that will never be told where we are, ever. Everybody's sworn to secrecy and non-disclosure and confidentiality about where the studio is. Right, Linda? Everybody, nobody is allowed to mention a thing. And then
yeah,
there's
no,
big
it's,
penalties.
It's quiet, and, you know, we're keeping it quiet, and I even put a fake address in my signature on my email.
Oh, wow. Is that true? Now you're
yeah,
really
I'm going super covert.
You're going covert and stealth. I'm enjoying that.
Just keep it down low.
I got a story to tell about Linda later in the program today. I think that everybody's going to enjoy. And I had to get her in trouble over the weekend, and I'll explain what that means later. You know, look how bad things are when people just don't have an ability to understand how to protect people. You know, Comrade de Blasio in New York, other top New York City officials were busy focusing on, you know, they were removing Confederate statues. All right, fine, do what you want. I said it's a local issue, et cetera. Most of these statues, by the way, were put up, memorials were put up by Democrats, and I'll get to that later. Shootings and stabbings in New York City now skyrocketing again this weekend, and the carnage kicks off Friday night in Greenpoint in Brooklyn. And you got a native Texan who recently moved from Cypress Hills to Greenpoint because he thought it would be safer, stabbed to death Friday night by a stranger in his new neighborhood, his wife watching in horror. And that was only the beginning of, you know, what is, I guess, a normal weekend in Chicago. And it literally began, I guess, let's see, we had shootings in Harlem and other parts of New York, Third Avenue in New York. Jamaica, you have all this violence. You've got Long Island City involved, 100th Street, the Bronx, all of this. You know, then you got an Italian tourist shot in broad daylight yesterday, Sunday, when he got lost and wandered down apparently the wrong street. If we don't focus on the forgotten men and women in this country, it will be the biggest colossal political fail in our country's history.
Always concerned for our country. Always honoring our servicemen and servicewomen. And standing up for liberty every day.
All right, 25 till the top of the hour, 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. Linda, when do you want me to tell the story about me ratting you out this weekend and winning?
I think you should wait as long as you can because I know it annoys you.
It doesn't annoy me. I won. It
no, you didn't win. If I make you wait to tell the story, it's irritating. So that's a little bit of a win for
me. No. I got a lot of news that I got to get. I think you didn't get irritated, which I think shows a good time. Everybody on my staff had to work really hard this weekend. And, you know, what's the first thing I said? I want to give everybody an extra couple of days off because of all the work that you did this weekend. Didn't I say that today?
Yes, you did. It was the first thing you said when you came in today. Thank you very much for all your hard work. You even sent an email last night.
I did because I knew how hard every week got the new studio up and running and with just minor, tiny, baby little glitches, which is always hard when you move to a new studio. I always expect trouble when it's a new studio.
Trouble is following us.
No, it just is what it is. You just, if you come in and you're expecting everything to work perfectly in a new studio, you're out of your mind. It's never going to happen. And you got to work out the kinks, and it happens over, you know, course of a week, and then you just never have a problem usually again, or very rarely. So we have more on the issue of statues, et cetera, and memorials. Has anybody asked the question how many of these statues, memorials, et cetera, were put up over the years by Democratic congresses and state legislators? And, you know, I mean, you know, the president did raise a very good question. Where does it end? You got 57 schools and highways, and in the West Virginia legislature, you got this big statue of memorial of Robert KKK Byrd, Hillary's mentor. Is that going to get taken down, the former Klansman? I just think it's raising interesting issues. And we saw over the weekend that, well, I guess it was later in the week last week, Baltimore's mayor called for the removal of four Confederate war monuments and carted them away in the dead of night. And apparently there was a headline today in the Hill, Christopher Columbus statue smashed in Baltimore, is a 225-year-old monument commemorating Christopher Columbus, vandalized early Monday amid the nationwide debate on removing Confederate statues and monuments. And a video that was posted on Monday shows the monument being smashed. Two unidentified people taping a sign that says the future is racial and economic justice on the monument. You have the Florida cop killer. This was in Kissimmee. If you were watching the news at all last week, our thoughts and prayers go out to the families of these brave men and women that are on the front lines defending all of us every day. But the guy allegedly ambushed and killing two Kissimmee police officers Friday night is a self-professed member of an extremist group who appears to be upset by the events in Charlottesville last week. And he was arrested and charged with first-degree murder in the killing of Officer Sam Howard and Matthew Baxter. And he allegedly opened fire on the officers before they could even draw their service weapons. He ambushed them. He fled, was arrested a few hours later. And his recent Facebook post shows huge anger towards police officers and President Trump and people that are white, as well as frustration over the events in Charlottesville. And, you know, the Daily Caller has a full write-up on him today. And I'm sitting here thinking, you know, that goes to the what do we want dead cops, when do we want them now thing. How did Decray McKesson, one of the leaders of Black Lives Matter, this is loud. When you listen to the second one in particular, Pigs in a Blanket, and then listen to what do we want dead cops, when do we want them now in particular, I want you to listen to the sound of the crowd size with that.
Pigs in a blanket, brown like bacon. Pigs in a blanket, brown like bacon. Pigs in a blanket, brown like bacon. Pigs in a blanket, brown like bacon.
Hear the size of that crowd? That's a little scary. How do you get an invitation being a part of that group or associated with that group? And imagine the reaction if it was a similar radical group like that and one of the leaders of the group gets invited to the Trump White House. In Texas, Breitbart has a story. A Texas man arrested for attempting to blow up a Confederate statue. And so far, there's been no reaction from Democratic State police, I guess. Houston police officials arrested a young man for allegedly attempting to plant explosives at the Confederate statue Sunday night. FBI officials confirmed the suspect is connected with an ongoing FBI investigation, an investigation of a house that's near Rice University. And a special agent told reporters Monday in Houston that this individual is now in custody and charged with attempting to maliciously damage, destroy property, receiving federal assistance. Kind of scary. We're living in very, very divided, scary times. And that's why I thought Boston was so key. When 99% of people want to march peacefully for a cause that they believe in, and I think a cause that is just against racism and bigotry. Linda's in my ear. I told you I didn't see there was no TV station that I saw that actually aired. From what I understand, there were like 15 people at the free speech rally in Boston. There was nobody there. And apparently, the one person that I saw a clip of said, all lives, black lives, every life matters. That's all I saw from the speech that allegedly took place. I can't comment intelligently on it. And people saying, Hannity, you don't know everybody that was there. There were good people or bad. I don't know because I didn't see it. The networks didn't run it. So I'm just giving you I can't talk about something I don't know. And I'm going to try and pull it up online, see if I can find it somewhere. The chief architect. Well, let me give you another thing. So we have an update on this Missouri. We have the lieutenant governor of Missouri on today, the state senator Marie Chappelle Nadal, who hoped for the assassination of President Trump, that she wouldn't even apologize for this. And she posted, apparently, according to Jim Hoff, picked this up from ABC News. They reported on a story in the St. Louis Dispatch. Reported on a story, quote, Missouri State Senator Marie Chappelle Nadal, Democrat, University City, posted a comment in a Facebook conversation Thursday morning, hoping that she hopes that President Trump will be assassinated. That's since been removed. And she confirmed to the Dispatch that it had been written in response to another commentator, I guess, online. And before she deleted this, she tweeted out a Holocaust threat, according to the Free Beacon, to the Jewish governor, Edward Greitens, I guess is his name. And they reported that she retweeted a Holocaust-themed tweet on Thursday in reference to the Missouri Jewish Republican governor. And Chappelle Nadal, the state lawmaker, recently wrote she hoped Donald Trump would be assassinated. Wow. Now, there's going to be a push to get her out of the state legislature. We'll see where that ends up with. There is a Blaze article today how Antifa of Boston on social media blogging out about being communists and anarchists. And apparently there's a social media page that the Blaze reports belonging to the Antifa faction in Boston, bragging about being anarcho-communist, an anarcho-communist group bashing patriotism. And it's been widely rebuked, rightly online. Let's get one thing clear. Antifa is an anarcho-communist cause. Those on the left who call us patriots, step the blank away, the group tweeted Saturday with an image of a burning American flag. And then you have, you know, some other things that they have there. This comment came as thousands of people gathered. Again, the 99% of the people that were peaceful. And I know people, I'm just trying to understand. And then it said, let's see, we got this here. One guy, apparently, there was a video on Twitter that Linda sent me over the weekend. Antifa attacking a Trump supporter. And there were people that stood up and said, hey, leave this guy alone. Just like the kid that was walking through a crowd and somebody knocked this kid's Make America Great hat off again. And it ended up, you know, the people around him say, hey, knock it off. No violence. So I thought those people deserve a lot of credit because they were being true to their, you know, being peaceful. But there were these protesters and you saw what they did. They clashed with the police. They clash, you know, there was one story this weekend, literally, I mean, we got some of this audio and that we'll play later in the program today, but, you know, you've got somebody standing up to a black female police officer in Boston. You're supposed to be with us. I'm like, real, and they're pushing and shoving and pushing and shoving and trying to provoke the police. And the police are trying to push them back. I got to tell you, when you see police men and women that do their job well, like they did in Boston under very difficult circumstances, it should make every cop proud of their profession because they kept everybody in the city safe all weekend. Peaceful protesters, they got to do their thing. Those that were trying to agitate, the small, tiny percentage of people, they didn't get away with what they probably came there for, which was trouble. And the police showed incredible professionalism, discipline, strength. It's an amazing job that they did, and I don't know if they're ever going to get enough credit for it. And it goes for the Boston mayor. I don't even know the guy. But I saw him out there and telling people, be peaceful, and they were. And even worse, I mean, there's other stuff out there. There was, you know, a bunch of other articles that were out there. There's lists of people who are involved in Antifa, and we may deal with that at a different point. Do we have the CNN Daily Beast guy, Matt Lewis, Trump voters are asses and a bunch of idiots? Did you get that, Linda? It was print. Okay, CNN commentator, Daily Beast columnist, Matt Lewis says President Trump's voters are asses and endorse a full-throated attempt to primary Trump with someone like Ben Sasse, a never-Trumper. Ben Sasse isn't going to win a single vote if he runs against Donald Trump. That's my take. As we stand today, it's not even going to be close. There was a conflict also in Dallas over the weekend that took place. I do think there are questions that need to be raised. Now, granted, Boston had more time than Charlottesville, but there are a lot of things that Terry McAuliffe said that just turned out being flat out false. The governor of Virginia, of the Commonwealth, he was saying, oh, they were outgunned and outarmed us. I've seen no video evidence or any evidence except the sticks that some people had. That's not outgunning, outarming. And then he had reported that there were guns all over the city. Well, one of the police representatives, well, disputed that myth also and said, no, we didn't find. We did our normal sweep of places to make sure that there weren't weapons or weaponry placed in locations near and around where the conflict was scheduled to take place or the protests were scheduled to take place. But no, there wasn't anything we found. Now, I'm going to tell you this because I think this is really key. You've got Mitch McConnell now that has an 18% approval rating, 18%. And you have Congress at the lowest approval rating they've ever hit. And the Democrats, by the way, their fundraising has now hit a 10-year low. So it's not like people are engaged with the Democrats either. And the Democrats think they can just hate the president, hopefully hope and pray and pray and hope that Russia comes through. Well, that didn't work. So now they moved on to racist. And then they're going to move on to something else because they don't want the president to succeed. But what they're not doing, and this is the secret formula for any political party, and I'm disgusted with a lot of the Republican Party right now. If the secret sauce is going to be who is going to fight and get the things in this country done that's going to help the people of this country. Now, 9 days after Charlottesville, the president's approval rating is around 40%. Real Clear Politics average. Now, that's after a week of solid, nonstop, wall-to-wall negative coverage. And if you compare that to Obama's approval rating in August of 2009, and after a full 7 months of media fawning and gushing praise against Obama, well, Gallup had Obama's approval rating at the same point at 42%. So it's about the same as where Obama's were. That's why all these people making political predictions for the future, they don't know what they're talking about. The secret sauce is who is going to get the economy moving. The secret sauce is going to be who's going to help create jobs. The secret sauce is going to be who's going to focus on people on food stamps in poverty and out of the labor force. The secret sauce is going to be will Republicans keep their promises? And at this point, it's simple. They need tax cuts for the middle class, corporate tax cuts so they'll invest in infrastructure, that they'll invest in factories and manufacturing centers. The secret sauce is going to be the millions of high-paying career jobs in energy. The secret sauce is going to be the trillions repatriated from multinationals because you basically let them in for a very low rate, money they parked overseas. The secret sauce is going to be keeping your promise on building the wall, which so many people wanted. And why this is delayed, I don't know. And it's frustrating. The secret sauce is going to be, okay, you failed on Obamacare. You better start chipping away at it step by step and providing choices and options that work for people that lower their premiums and offer them better health care choices. Now, why do I say it's the secret sauce? Because if the Republicans don't do it, they're going to lose in 2018, and it's a little over a year away. If they do it, they will have huge political benefits and huge benefits at the in 2018 and shocked the country. Wow, they kept power. Wow, they gained seats in the Senate. If they don't do it and the Democrats step up and it become a party other than hating the president and they offer an agenda that would work and help people, well, then they would take advantage politically and help the country. The answer, the secret sauce, is helping the country. That's the answer. It's not that complicated.
The last thing he's got to do, and I'm being very candid here, is he's got to quit stepping on himself. He had a very good infrastructure press conference the other day, and then he stepped on it, blew it, guaranteed that it wouldn't get covered. That's like a quarterback who goes out and throws the ball down to the other side and fumbles on the first play of every possession. He's got to be more disciplined, and he's got to work as part of a team, and then I think generally he could end up being a remarkably great president.
All right, that was Newt Gingrich earlier today on Fox and Friends. I want to first go back to this weekend and what the president tweeted out, which I thought was pretty incredible here, which is he said, I want to applaud the many protesters in Boston who are speaking out against bigotry and hate, and our country will soon come together as one. And he had some other things that he tweeted out as well. Newt Gingrich now joins us. You know, there's a couple of things about last week that I think you're right. Everything that he said about infrastructure, nobody heard a single thing, not one word, because he got into the press conference and the media was just ready to pounce. The media, in fairness to President Trump, he has said over the course of his career many, 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 many times that he disavows, finds repugnant racism, Duke and the Klan and everybody else, but nobody seems to want to hear it or the context. I thought he gave a great speech on Monday about it, and then he tweeted this out over the weekend. Conservatives are always falsely maligned as racist and bigots, and I resent it because it's not true. And even though the president has said this over the many years, that doesn't stop the false narrative. But with that said, the 99.whatever% of protesters this weekend were peaceful, and they should speak out against racism and bigotry, as the president said. I thought that was the right message to send.
Yeah, I think that the challenge for the president is that 95% of what he does is right, and he forgets that he's faced with opponents who hate him. And so anytime he gives them an excuse, they're always going to pivot to the thing that they want to focus on. I always tell people, leading at this level is like a sailboat. It's not like a powerboat. You don't have enough energy to be able to drive your way through the system. And so you've got to look around. You've got to figure out, you know, what I have to do to keep moving forward despite the wind and despite the waves and what have you. And the challenge you've got is that these are active opponents. You know, Trump is such an extraordinary challenge to the traditional establishment that they're never going to give him a break. Now, that doesn't mean we ought to whine about it or feel bad about it. He is earning their hostility. I mean, if you think about it from where you and I come from, in terms of what we were hoping would happen, this is the guy we wanted. This is the guy standing up to the, you know, when you start to drain the swamp, all the alligators try to bite you. But that's actually a tribute to Trump, that he's actually doing things that I have never seen, not even Reagan in my lifetime, had the nerve to be as tough and as direct as Trump has. But what that means is he has the most hostile opposition of any president in modern times. I think only Andrew Jackson and Abraham Lincoln had the scale of hostility that he is now facing. And so he's got to design his presidency to take advantage of that reality and to operate within a framework of that reality.
You know, and I do agree. For me, at this point, I see 12 weeks ahead. Well, maybe a little bit more, but about 12 weeks for the Republicans to get their act together, get the job done. I share the same concern that we spoke about last week, that they may be going too big trying to get the tax cuts, which are desperately needed to stimulate the economy, and tax reform all done at the same time. And you're saying just, you know, get the middle class tax cuts, get the corporate tax, get repatriation, make some fundamental changes to the tax code, get rid of the double taxation, the death tax, a few things like that. But it doesn't have to be the big enchilada, because just those things alone, with energy independence and the millions of career jobs that it would create, that's going to do a lot for the forgotten men and women that have been left behind.
Exactly. And then I think it's important to recognize that the country is very hungry for effective leadership. And they correctly tend to place most of the blame for what's happened so far, not on the president, but on all the folks who've not been able to deliver up till now. So I think, you know, he still has a pretty deep, on his side among the people who elected him, he has a very deep well of support for what he's trying to do, and people who will give him extra opportunities to get the job done. And in that sense, I still think there's a lot that can be done. But he's got to become more stable. He's got to become somebody that his own team can rely on without looking over their shoulder and wondering what he's up to. And that's why I thought the performance was so destructive on the infrastructure press conference, because here he had his whole team lined up. He'd given his statement. If he had walked off and allowed his team to actually answer infrastructure questions, they'd have gotten a very nice story, and it would have worked very, very well. Instead, the team is standing there watching him go off again in a totally unscripted way that has to rattle them. They have to think, wait, what am I signing up for here? And that's why I think it's a challenge.
Yeah, no, I mean, from what I understand from people around the president, he did not plan on doing that press conference. But I guess, you know, they started firing questions at him, and he felt that he needed to defend himself. Meanwhile, I thought on Monday he had given a pitch perfect, cadence perfect response to the insanity over the weekend. But when you have a media and you have Democrats and everyone screaming racism, 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 and they don't look over the context of his life, nor do they look at the, they won't even report basically on the tweet he sent out yesterday. And but I know it angered some conservatives that were feeling, hey, whoa, 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 well, you know, there were some, you know, angry protesters there, but the 99% were there to protest hatred and bigotry. And every conservative I know, including the history of this president in his life, shows him doing the exact same thing.
That's right. And I think, you know, we'll work our way through some of this. And frankly, the left just can't help themselves. I mean, they go, if you'll notice recently, we had a Catholic saint whose statue was defaced in California. We had Abraham Lincoln, who was defaced in Chicago. The folks who are going down, you know, once you go down this road of let me rewrite history, there's no natural stopping point. And I think in that sense, the left, you know, you have Nancy Pelosi saying, oh, why don't we start taking statues out of the Capitol? Well, if we take Nancy's version this week, then whose version do we take next week?
Well, then it's never going to end. Well, I assume the 57 schools and roads and in the West Virginia State House, all the different things that are named after Robert Byrd will be next. I'm just guessing. That would be a good start, right? He's a former Klansman. And Hillary's mentor.
And Woodrow Wilson. I mean, how many different things? The Woodrow Wilson Center is a government-funded center. I mean, named for a man who in many ways resegregated and undid the work that the Republicans had done. I have, by the way, a question for our audience. I've been trying to find, are there any statues relating to Confederate soldiers put up by a Republican jurisdiction?
Or, I don't know,
in fact,
one.
Is every single thing they're upset about something Democrats did?
Well, it really, you know, when I tried last week to give some historical context, the left went nuts, too. You know, and when you tell people that, well, the former Klansman was Hillary's mentor and the former segregationist that signed on the Southern Manifesto, well, that was Bill's mentor. And when you tell them that Al Gore's father voted against the Voting Rights Act and Civil Rights Act and Hillary's mentor filibustered the Civil Rights Act, you know, people don't know those simple moments in history. And they're like, wow. And then people, when you talk about it and you reveal it and they understand it, they begin to realize, you know, everything that I say. Every 2 and 4 years, Democrats will play the race card. And I've got all the ads over the years to prove it.
Well, and when you put it that way, of course, you have to remember, a lot of these people don't know anything. I mean, a lot of the folks who are out there chanting on the left have never studied history, have absolute contempt for the United States, don't actually know anything. And it's in that context that we're supposed to take them seriously. And I think,
well, but you do have organized groups like Antifa. You know, I, for example, pointed out, why would a sitting president invite the head of a group that chanted, what do we want dead cops? When do we want them now, to the White House? That's what Barack Obama did. I mean, if you take any of these individual incidences, or him rushing to judgment and being wrong in Florida, Trayvon Martin, and being wrong in Ferguson, and being wrong in Baltimore, and being wrong in Cambridge. And he's an attorney, and he rushed to judgment without any facts, testimony, evidence presented. I just think it was wrong. Trump tried to say, I was trying to wait for the facts to come in.
Well, of course, you know, if you're going to start getting down to waiting for the facts, you're undermining the whole core basis of the left, which is that it's emotions that matter, not facts. Facts are hard. That's what right-wingers believe in, is facts. But you should have a giant heart. You shouldn't worry too much about whether you're right or wrong. You should worry about whether you're pure of spirit. I mean, and that's why the left, I think, is so dangerous, because they end up basically chanting nonsense as though it made sense.
All right, stay right there. We'll continue more with Newt Gingrich as we continue. Sarah Carter, now Republicans are saying, yeah, we do need equal justice under the law, and yeah, we do need to investigate Hillary Clinton, and we can't have a two-tier justice system. Sarah Carter has an update on that when we get back. As we continue, former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich is with us. Remember now, how many weeks, 10, 11 weeks, Understanding Trump has been a New York Times bestseller, and it debuted at number one on the New York Times list. And I know you've had a lot of best-selling books over the years. This has to rank among one of the best you've ever written.
Yeah, this is the second best I've ever done, and I'm very grateful to everybody who's bought it so far. It continues to sell really well, of course, partly because Trump is such a complex and fascinating person. I mean, it's, you know, Understanding Trump is a pretty good title, just because people look up and go, what's he doing? Why is he doing it? You know, I always tell people that this book is not called Predicting Trump, because I don't think it's possible to predict him, but I do think it's possible to understand him. And I think that he is a remarkable figure. I think he's going to go down in history as a remarkable president. And I think that people will find that they understand him somewhat better if they have a chance to look at something like Understanding Trump.
You know, one of the things you said earlier is that people like us that have followed all of this our entire lives, and you've lived it more than I have. I've been on the outside, but we've wanted to see the sewer drained. We wanted to see the swamp drained. And I don't think, with great courage, he has taken on every single aspect of the establishment. And maybe it's the better part of wisdom now to just focus for the next 3 months, 4 months on just the agenda, just the economy, just the forgotten men and women. And if he does that, this is a make or break time for his presidency. It's also make or break for Congress. Congress has another meltdown like they did on health care. I think they're in trouble.
Well, there's no question about that. You see that in all the polls. You see it in the initial results in Alabama, where people were voting to change things, not to stay the same. And I think this is across the board a real challenge. I think the country has to recognize that we're in a pivotal moment here. The American people, by a narrow but decisive margin, voted for profound change, and indicated that they really were tired of the way things have been going. Now you have a tremendous counterattack by the news media, by the bureaucracies, by the Democrats, and as a result, you know, you have an administration which is in many ways in the fight of its life. That's not necessarily terrible. I think this is the way real change occurs, and it requires that we have the courage to stand up for what we believe and to fight for what we believe in. And I think if the president can build a team, and I like very much what's been happening since General John Kelly went in there, I think you're seeing more stability, more focus, and I think tonight is going to be a very impressive conversation. I think you and I will be on after the president's speech and have a chance to talk about it. But I do think you'll see a very presidential commander-in-chief speech tonight, which is what he should be doing. I mean, he is not a candidate right now. He is the president of the United States, and that is a position of enormous potential influence.
So if now that Russia seems to be coming to an end, and now they've switched from Russia to race, I don't think the media is going to stop doing what they're going to do. But if the Congress, if Republicans, are you worried they will not get together? Because there's a strong enough contingent that just hates the president that are Republican.
Well, I worry that they'll get together, but I think it's two-way street. I mean, we'll have a real test tomorrow night when he goes to Arizona. He has two Republican senators. He has a good reason to be irritated with both of them. One of them, of course, John McCain, has a very, very severe health condition right now. You know, I think he can go there and widen the wound with the two senators, or he can go there and hold out an olive branch and say, guys, we got to work together in September. I hope he does the latter.
You have a problem with him giving a pardon to Joe Arpaio? I think it's the right thing to do.
Well, I think I would have a panel that made that decision. I don't think he should personally do it, but I think he should appoint a panel that would decide that. I don't see a guy in his late 80s going to jail because of a fight with a liberal judge.
Well, I think it's going to happen, and I think the reason is that Joe Arpaio actually enforced the laws of the land. I mean, that's what the truth comes down to.
I think you'd have a lot of sympathy for saving him from that experience.
All right, Newt Gingrich, thanks for being with us. His book, Understanding Trump. When we come back, we'll have a lot more. Is there a system of equal justice under the law, or a two-tier justice system? Sarah Carter has breaking developments about now the Republicans in Congress slowly showing signs of doing their job. That's next, straight ahead.
Didn't the
IRS scandal and the NSA atrocities convince you? You need a watchdog on Washington with insider sources. You need Hannity every day.
I 25 till the top of the hour. Toll-free telephone numbers, 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. New palatial hidden studios today. In light of the insanity, the threats of violence, and everything else out there against all things conservative, we have built a, well, let's just say a hidden Hannity studio within the ranks of New York, and it's beautiful, and I want to thank everybody for working so hard this weekend to make all of this happen. It's been in the works now for a while. Glad you're with us. We have been as in the forefront, I think, in the media. There's been a few of us digging deep into what is, whether or not as a country we're going to have equal justice under the law, whether or not we're going to have a two-tier justice system. We have seen 8 long months, unprecedented attacks against the president of the United States of America, 5 forces I've identified, the deep state, then, of course, the Democrats, the corrupt media, the abusively biased ideological media. Then you've got weak Republicans that really apparently have no identity, no agenda. And then never Trumpers, see, I told you so. They're dying for the day that they can say it or any day they try and say it. So these forces have existed out there. They've existed in the forms of unprecedented surveillance, unmasking, and leaking, especially as it relates to the Trump campaign. We're now beginning to get closer and closer to who the very small percentage of people in the intelligence community that would use the weapons of intelligence against the American people or use them to gather political intelligence. We're now going to find more out about why Samantha Power, the UN ambassador, was unmasking. We're going to find out more what Susan Rice knew when she knew it. Ben Rhodes, what he knew when he knew it. James Clapper, why he eased these rules and allowed the opportunity to exist, considering the power and the weaponry of intelligence. Was Brennan involved? We'll get to that. What did Obama know and Hillary know about any of this? But then again, on all the issues involving Hillary Clinton, and we know laws were violated with the email server in terms of intelligence, classified top secret information, special access program information. Number one, it was mishandled, felony. It was destroyed, bleach bit, acid washed, and then 33,000 deleted emails, including top secret emails and classified emails and special access program information emails. Devices were destroyed, and whatever devices were handed over had no SIM cards. It looks like we may even get the final investigation into what I believe is going to be the biggest issue of all, which is Uranium One. Then, of course, we're going to talk about Trump-Russia collusion. Then we've got to talk about Ukrainian collusion and their attempts to influence the election in favor of Hillary, and a DNC operative, paid operative, meeting at the Ukrainian embassy with the Ukrainian ambassador, and Politico reporting that information went right back to the Clinton campaign and the DNC. And we're only beginning to touch the surface here on all of these issues. Now, here's where it gets interesting, and we're following it. And the people that have really been in the forefront of breaking down these scandals and getting one big breaking news story after another are Sarah Carter with Circa.com and John Solomon, who works for The Hill. Now, the Senate Judiciary Committee chairman, Charles Grassley, he's now demanding plaintiffs on 3 separate lawsuits filed against President Trump, who claimed the president violated obscure constitutional provision known under the particular clause and so on and so forth. But he also goes on to say that it's now time to investigate Hillary Clinton and the State Department. He said there are multiple examples of potential corruption in the relationship between Clinton Foundation donors, foreign and domestic, and the State Department during Secretary Clinton's tenure. And he specifically cited in August 2016 that foreign governments donated heavily to the Clinton Foundation while simultaneously lobbying the State Department while she was the Secretary of State. Anyway, the Office of Ethics is looking into other issues involving Hillary, and here to break it all down, Sarah Carter, who has the headlines, Senator Grassley says partisan lawsuits against President Trump should implicate Hillary Clinton. How are you, Sarah Carter?
I'm doing great, Sean. Thank you. And yes, Senator Charles Grassley
was looking at these three separate lawsuits. These are definitely people that are anti-Trump, lawsuits that were lifted against him, both Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics, and then you have lawmaker John Conyers and Connecticut Democrat Senator Richard Blumenthal, who also have a separate lawsuit. They're basically going after Trump for saying that he's profiting. His businesses are profiting as president, that he should not have any connection whatsoever with his businesses. Well, when Senator Grassley took a good look at what they were suing him on, he said, wait a minute, there's so much more evidence in relation to then former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and her husband Bill Clinton. And if that's the basis of your lawsuit, well, then we need to investigate this because there's actual evidence of this based on their joint income tax returns.
And you go through this in your column in great specificity, right? And by the way, and you didn't even include the $145 million donations in donations we got after she had signed off on the Uranium One deal. Now, the $145 million is, I'd like to know where that money came from. I mean, do we know for sure it was the people in Canada that also had financial interests in the Uranium One deal? Because a lot of it seems to all be connected. Did they have those funds themselves? Did we follow the money trail on those issues?
Well, I think that there's a lot of people looking at where that money came from. And I can tell you this also within our federal law enforcement agencies, which have been investigating this for quite some time. And remember, this has never actually been closed. This investigation, from what I have been told, has never been closed into the Clinton Foundation. So that still remains open. Whether it's active, I don't know. I've been trying to find that out myself, but I do know that people are looking into it. And there are a lot of concerns about how that money reached the Clinton Foundation and where it was moved through. Could it have been moved from Russian sources or Russian persons through other foundations? We don't know that yet, or through other entities into the foundation. That's something that still needs to be investigated. But what we do know is this. We know that on their joint tax returns, right, on their joint tax returns, there is money that can be seen, $175,000 from a city government in Canada, $500,000 from the Abu Dhabi Global Environment Data Initiative, $500,000 from a Russian government-aligned investment bank. And remember, Sean, that investment bank, and according to people in Grassley's office and people who were attending a hearing that he held, the people connected with the bank were actually people that belonged to the FSB, which is the former KGB. These are their CIA, right? Russia's CIA. So these were people that were connected, and they received $500,000, and Bill Clinton specifically for a speech, $200,000 from a speech.
By the way, that speech came from a Russian government. The $500,000, which was twice his normal speaking fee, and what came from a Russian government-aligned investment bank, and it came at a time that seemed suspicious, and especially in terms of the Uranium One deal.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you look at the hearing, Grassley held a hearing this year that focused in on this bank, and this is a statement from one of the officials, and as noted by Grassley in the letter that he sent to all of these people who have put these lawsuits against President Trump. He said, well, if you just look at this bank alone, Renaissance is a Russian investment bank whose senior officers include former FSB Russian intelligence personnel. As such, sources have described the bank as an extension of the Russian government, as most all of the banks in Russia are controlled in some manner by the Kremlin. Yet, mum's the word, nobody made a big deal about the fact that, you know, former President Bill Clinton received $500,000 for a speaking engagement from these folks, and it was filed in a joint income tax return while she was Secretary of State. That should raise concern.
Well, look at Qatar. I mean, they donated $1 million to the Clinton Foundation on Bill Clinton's birthday while Clinton was Secretary of State. Hillary, the nation, was the recipient of approximately, what, $4.3 billion dollars. And, you know, here's the thing that really bothered me is, you know, the Saudis gave $10 million, and that was a 97% increase, et cetera, of money that they had given in the past when she becomes Secretary of State. And, okay, and she's the champion of women's rights and gays' rights and religious freedom, but look at how the Saudis persecute women and persecute and kill gays and lesbians and persecute Christians and Jews. So it's great hypocrisy, but it's probably a lot deeper.
True. And remember, there was a lot of concern, too. You mean Saudi Arabia, the majority of the 9/11, I mean, if we go back all the way to September 11th, 2001, they were from Saudi Arabia. You know, Osama bin Laden was from Saudi Arabia. We know that there were a lot of issues in the kingdom with Wahhabism, which was the extreme form of Islamic belief. And so there were a lot of concerns there, and nobody really addressed those issues. We know we've been partnering with our Saudi partners and allies as well, trying to find a way to mitigate this, but we haven't been able to. If you just go back to Qatar really quickly, I mean, that was, think about this, during that time, she got the $1 million for the Clinton Foundation on Clinton's birthday. They got eventually $4.3 billion worth of sales. They were the recipient of that. That was a 1,482% increase.
Wow.
Since prior to Clinton being Secretary of State. That's huge. So if you just look at everything and you line it up, Sean, I mean, there's a lot of questions there, and people need answers. Like you said, unfortunately, there's not a lot of people seeking out these answers right now, but we know Senator Grassley is one of them, and he is expecting to receive some responses to his letters from those that he sent them to.
All right, well, stay right there. We'll have more with Sarah Card. I want to get an update on unmasking, but, you know, all praise to Senator Chuck Grassley, because what he's saying here is we can't enforce these things impartially without regard for power, privilege, or party. And that's been my argument now for a long time. He said selective efforts to enforce whatever particular laws or clauses smack of partisan political bias. Is he like the only person that is now understanding that you can't have two-tiered justice systems and equal? You have to have equal justice under the law. That's why Hillary getting away with all the things that she has done has got to end. As we continue, Sarah Carter, Circa News, is with us. Big breaking news today. Senator Grassley saying, okay, we can't have a two-tier justice system. We need equal justice under the law, the very thing that we have been saying repeatedly on this program. I wanted to also, Sarah, while I had you, get an update on the unmasking. Now that we know investigations exist into Samantha Power, Ben Rhodes, Susan Rice, James Clapper, I think, is getting a little bit of investigation going on. And then we have the general counsel of the FBI and James Comey. What's going on with all of those?
Well, that's a long list, but it starts with today. So today, the National Security Agency was expected to deliver information to the House Intelligence Committee on Ben Rhodes and unmasking. Remember, I broke that story about a week and a half ago that Ben Rhodes was now emerging as a person of interest in the House Intelligence Committee's investigation. The letter that they had sent to the National Security Agency asked that they deliver to the committee how many times Rhodes unmasked anyone, any American, between January 1st, 2016 and January 20th, 2017. So they want the whole year of unmaskings. They want to know if he was privy to classified information, what information was that, who was he looking at, many of the same questions that they had with regard to former UN Ambassador Samantha Power, as well as National Security Advisor Susan Rice. Clapper, there are also many questions with regard to James Clapper. They want to know how they maneuvered this, how they made this possible, why were so many people within the Obama administration apparently, remember, and allegedly unmasking Americans, specifically people within the Trump campaign. I think a really important point, Sean, to bring up here is the fact that when you talk and when I speak with intelligence officials, analysts who maybe have to unmask, which they say is very rare.
Why would Samantha Power need to unmask hundreds of Trump people in an election year like this?
We don't know. We don't have the answers yet. We don't know if it was hundreds of Trump people. What we know she did was unmask hundreds of people. Now, who those people were, we do not know yet. Some have been named out, like it's called, people have said they were connected to the Trump campaign or to now people within the Trump administration. But that still remains highly classified. And I think that's why the House Intelligence Committee is so staunch on interviewing each one of these people and getting the information that they need from the National Security Agency.
Well, I want to get the information if I was unmasked so I can file a lawsuit against every one of these people.
Well, remember, we talked about that before, Sean. I mean, you know, it's very possible, and people have said, and I know you've heard it as well, that you were probably unmasked as well in intercepts, overseas intercepts, speaking to foreign persons. So that would be very interesting. Remember that.
But if it's beyond that, I hear it may even be beyond that. And if it is, wouldn't that be illegal? Don't I have Fourth Amendment protections?
Yes, you do have Fourth Amendment protection rights. And if there is evidence that somebody has violated those Fourth Amendment protection rights, yes, you would be able to take recourse. But getting that information is something altogether different.
All right. Sarah Carter has been doing great work. Sarah, we're going to continue to monitor, and we'll do the media's job because they're never going to get to it. Sarah, thank you. We appreciate it. 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program from our new palatial studios, hidden and never to be found. It's the Sean Hannity Show. We'll continue. All right, News Roundup, Information Overload Hour. Now, I want to show you, and I actually thought this was an incredible moment, and when I tweeted out support, I think it's right to stand up against bigotry, hatred, racism, white supremacy. And there were a lot of videos I saw, and I thought the 99% of people this weekend that were peaceful, I mean, we saw the clashes with police, but a tiny, tiny percentage of agitators, some representing whatever individual groups they represent, it's neither here nor there. There was a moment where a Trump supporter was going through a crowd with a Make America Great hat again, and there were some that were, you know, they knocked his hat off, and this guy said, you know, I don't remember the video. I think he was a minority. I don't remember. And I watched it earlier this weekend. Anyway, so shouted down. But there were people there that said, hey, leave this guy alone. No violence. And, you know, and literally had another Trump supporter that was escorted by police to be protected from those that were on the absolute hard left. And these are some of the incidents that took place. But the 99% of people, they protested peacefully. And they were there to protest what they said is racism and bigotry and white supremacy. And for that, I applaud them. Now, the oddest thing about the whole weekend is I never saw the crowd. From what I saw, the people that were at the free speech rally, I only saw highlights of one speaker who was talking about the need to all be united. And again, I didn't see a lot of it. It was only a tiny blur, but I don't know what happened because the TV stations didn't air it. And then you've got an Antifa person cursing out a Trump supporter and Antifa protesters telling a black female police officer, you're supposed to be on our side. And then we got some of the sounds of Antifa. And what I'm saying is you literally have in these events, you do have agitators. But the good part is that was not the representative group of people that protested peacefully for all the right reasons. And you got to give an awful lot of kudos to the mayor of Boston and to the police department. They did their job, and they had people getting in their grill and their face, coming up to them, pushing them, shoving them. And it's amazing how prepared they were and how professional they were. And how nobody, as far as I know, got hurt in this thing. But those agitators were the small amount. That was not the overwhelming 99%. And for that makes America strong to stand up against racism and bigotry and hatred. And if people want to do that, I support them. And some of you got mad at me this weekend because I said, yeah, it makes America strong when people speak out against white supremacy, racism, and bigotry for, you know, whatever the protest was about. Anyway, let's play some of these sounds and bring you up to speed.
I will have your identity and hear your name. I will be donating to everything you stand against. Everything.
No violence.
This shows
how out of our
I want to show that people shouldn't be afraid to voice their other views and voice their opinions. You shouldn't be afraid to go outside and say you're conservative. It's pretty sad that things like this happen.
No violence.
This is getting out of hand right now. These are the same guys I just interviewed like 5 minutes ago, and now they're being heckled. This is unbelievable. They need a police escort to get out of here. This place is absolutely chaotic. They have been now followed, for I'd say, several hundred feet, being led out of the Boston Common. I mean, this is unbelievable. Everyone tripping over each other, police. This is not what we were expecting here. But two Trump supporters now being escorted out of the Boston Common. I just spoke to them a few moments ago. They thought everything would be fine, but suddenly... Are you okay? What's your name?
Number one, we didn't want what happened in Virginia to happen here. We didn't want them at each other's throat. You know, also, there was a lot of talk in the week leading up about bottles being thrown with urine at our offices. And I wanted to make sure that that you had to have a good arm to basically throw and get at them. So, you know, we basically wanted them separated. And I'm sorry to report, we did have some bottles thrown at our offices that did have urine in it. A couple of our officers were hit with that. They were hit with a lot of stuff today, and I'm very proud of the job they did, and it goes to the professionalism of this department.
Joining us now, the Reverend C.L. Bryant is back with us, and Dr. Wendy Osefo, Professor of Education, John Hopkins University, and welcome both of you back to the program. Appreciate you being here. You know,
thank
Reverend,
you.
I applaud when people speak out against racism and bigotry and white supremacy and hatred, and that's why, you know, when I went through Donald Trump's history of doing that over the many, many years, nobody else in the media did that, and nor did they cover his statements from Saturday when he called it evil, nor did they cover his statements on Monday when he spoke out forcefully and effectively. And it just seems like they forgot his comments during the election when he said over and over and over and over and over and over again that he deplores this. And so if protesters are going to peacefully go out there and stand out for those things, I support them.
Absolutely, Sean. And what the president is actually doing is protecting the First Amendment right. It's a profound right that we have as Americans. I must protect the skinhead's right to speak if I want to speak myself. And the important thing for us all to remember is when Dr. King and other civil rights leaders were marching through the South in the 50s and 60s, those monuments were there. And they did not pay any attention to the monuments because there was a much bigger job to be done, and that is to create jobs and equality for people who needed it. And this is a step backwards, and it's amazing how the anti-fascists are being fascist when it comes to the First Amendment right. And black people who voted for Obama or the Clintons, they have forgotten the Confederate flag stickers that had Clinton and Gore on them back then. It is the height of hypocrisy.
You know, C.L., Reverend Bryant, you bring up a good point because Hillary Clinton, and I can play it, I've been playing it, you know, says that the former Klansman, Robert Byrd, was her mentor. And Bill Clinton said over and over and over and over again, a guy that signed the Southern Manifesto, was against the Civil Rights Act, J. William Fulbright, was his mentor. If you look at a lot of these monuments that we're talking about, Democrats put them up. They're not Republicans that put them up. And if you take it even a step further than that, If you look at the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act, it was a majority of Republicans that supported it, and Democrats like Al Gore's father were nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found.
Absolutely.
And Dr. Osefo, I mean, that's the history. And how does Hillary get away with saying her mentor's a former Klansman and Bill Clinton, his mentor, is a former segregationist who didn't support the Civil Rights Act? And he picked a guy whose father didn't support the Civil Rights Act.
Great question. However, yeah, it's not just the Clintons that have a checkered past.
You're going to say great question, and then you're going to move on to attacking Trump.
No, I'm answering your question, but if you let me finish, then I'll give you an answer. It's a great question, but it's not only the Clintons who have a checkered past. We know that. That is a valid point. However, this is the same president whose father was arrested at the KKK rally. And then we have this individual on the phone who was saying, you know, I think that the people in the Civil Rights era had bigger fish to fry than Confederate monuments. Well, excuse me, they were getting chased down by dogs, they were getting lynched. So, of course, monuments were not the first thing on their agenda. But just like they say in the military, how do you eat an elephant?
What was the party? You're missing the main point here. George Wallace, schoolhouse door, Democratic Party. Again, if you're going to look at the history, Voting Rights Act, Civil Rights Act, I lived in Atlanta. I got to know a lot of these historic figures from Maynard Jackson, who welcomed me my first day to Atlanta on the air, to Andy Young, to Joseph Lowery, to, you know, Hosea Williams, to all these great civil rights icons. And listen, I knew John Lewis. You just can't nothing but admire the courage this man has showed his whole life, although we disagree politically. So what? And I'm just saying to you, you're talking about the Democratic Party's history here. And you, every election year, 2 to 4 years, Wendy, that race card is played by the Democrats. Republicans are racist and sexist, and black churches are going to burn, and it's like my father died all over again, and Republicans have the wrong agenda for African Americans. They don't even want to count you in the census. And I've got all the tapes of every candidate every election year playing that lie, because it's not true. I'm a conservative, and I believe we're God's children created by one God, Reverend. All right, we'll take a quick break, and we'll come back more with C.L. Bryant, the Reverend C.L. Bryant, and Dr. Wendy Osefo, more on our debate over the weekend and the issue of Black Lives Matter and much, much more, and as we continue the Sean Hannity Show. All right, as we continue, the Reverend C.L. Bryant is with us, and Dr. Wendy Osefo.
Sean, if I may, let me say this. I'm 61 years old, grew up in Shreveport, Louisiana. I have drank from colored water fountains. I have ridden on the back of the bus.
It's a shame that you're saying these viewpoints if you've done all of that.
I have done all of that, but that has not stopped me from being an American success story. It has not stopped me from being a former president of the NAACP.
Who says race stops you from being an American success story? Why are you race baiting? That's not the issue here. It doesn't matter what race you are. You can still be successful. No one is saying that. We're talking about people who have policies.
I'm not going to let that go. You're accusing a pastor of race baiting. Nothing he said there is race baiting.
It is race baiting. He just said, I grew up in the 60s and I am able to be successful. That's basically saying that he overcame obstacles because of his color and was still successful.
Well, let me ask you a question. Is it appropriate? Barack Obama as president invited the head of Black Lives Matter. We have the tape. I'll play it for you because you can hear the sound and the loudness of it all. What do we want, dead cops? When do we want them now?
Pigs in a blanket! Brown life bacon! Pigs in a blanket! Brown life bacon! Pigs in a blanket! Brown life bacon! Pigs in a blanket! Brown life bacon!
Why would a president of the United States invite somebody associated in the head of that organization to his White House like Obama did?
First of all, when those comments were made, Black Lives Matter denounced it immediately. Second of all, Sean, I've been
Black
on your show
Lives
multiple
Matter
times,
that
and
made
I always
them. What are you talking
you,
about?
I always tell you this, Sean, and I'll say it again. My brother, currently serving NYPD, my grandfather, retired captain of the police force. I applaud them.
What does that have to do with my question? I applaud your brother.
It has everything to do with your question because it has. They also support Black Lives Matter. So let's not make this Black Lives Matter versus cops. No, that's not what this is.
If Donald Trump invited a member of that group or a member of a similar group that shouted something equally offensive and frankly unforgivable. You can't go out and shout you want dead cops.
Excuse
I guarantee
you,
Wendy, I guarantee you, you'd be all over Donald Trump for inviting and associating himself with that person.
These are alt-right members in the United States House. The White House. Are you
okay.
serious?
You don't see okay. Are you serious?
Here?
If Donald Trump invited a group of people that said anything, anything similar that they want dead cops now, you are telling me that you wouldn't be outraged and on TV and radio and blasting Donald Trump? Why won't you be intellectually honest and say Obama did the wrong thing?
This is the thing, Sean. You see, they always want to change the conversation. The fact of the matter is, any black person who co-signs Antifa, anti-fascist and a movement, and also want to co-sign people who would be against the First Amendment right that all of us Americans have fought and struggled to keep, is intellectually dishonest. That is absolutely dishonest. The proof of it is this. She has an entirely different viewpoint than I do. I applaud her right to say what she wants to say. In fact, I will defend it to the death. And she should have the same opinion of my right to say what I need to say as well.
I do. I respect his right. I respect his right to say what he has to say. And, Sean, this is probably the only place we will ever agree. As long as it is peaceful, as long as we obey the law, I am okay. We have the First Amendment. So whether you're on the right or the left, you have that right. That's why that's what makes this country so great. And I
well, that's why I praise the peaceful protesters. And by the way, there were some rabble rousers there, but they weren't the 99% of people. The 99% were peaceful. I applaud them, and they were there for the right reasons. All right, quick break. We'll come back. 800-941-SHAWN is a toll free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program.
Show talking about what's right for America with a renewed commitment to keep you up to date on the breaking news stories.
All right, 25 till the top of the hour, 800-941-SHAWN. If you want to be a part of the program, let me play for you the hysteria of a media that ignored all the years, all the times, even during this campaign, the president disavowing hatred, bigotry, racism. They just totally, completely, and utterly ignore it. White supremacism, David Duke. And then I want to play for you this, well, you have this, I guess, state senator that is in Missouri, and whether or not she is going to be able to keep her job now has become a big issue here. We're going to talk with the lieutenant governor in just a second, but we're going to play a cut of her unwilling to even say that she's sorry and that she apologized for saying she wishes the president was assassinated.
You know, this is it's a tough night. I think for normal people, you got a lot of people at home going through Kleenex right now. You got a lot of people at home who are keeping their kids away from TV tonight because we're spiraling away from each other. I don't know what to say tonight. I usually have something clever, something smart. I'm just hurt. I'm sitting here hurt, and I think a lot of people are hurt tonight.
It was disturbing, Don. I think we saw the president's true colors today, and I'm not sure they were red, white, and blue.
It was inappropriate. I've said that three times now.
And are you apologizing for it?
No. When the president apologizes for what he says, I'll apologize.
So
but
you
the, my
go as far to say your statement was inappropriate.
Yes.
You're not apologizing.
It was inappropriate. It was wrong. I posted it to my personal Facebook page, and I deleted it.
But you're not apologizing.
No.
All right, joining us now is the Lieutenant Governor, Mike Parson, is with us. He's with the great state of Missouri, and he made a comment about State Senator Chappelle Nadal, and welcome to the program, sir. I mean, you hear the media and the things they're saying, and she wouldn't apologize for this statement. What's going to happen next?
Well, Sean, first of all, thanks for having me on the show, but more importantly, thanks for drawing attention to this issue for the state of Missouri, because she doesn't deserve to be a state senator in our state. I mean, it's totally disrespectful to the people of Missouri And anytime you make a comment that you want this president of the United States to be assassinated is just not acceptable. It's unexcusable for us in this state. And, you know, when you're elected official, you know, there's consequences to your actions. And I know some politicians don't believe that, but I think it is our job to make sure that she's held responsible for what she said. And I don't think she deserved to sit in the Missouri Senate chamber. I think she needs to be expelled, and the sooner we can do that, the better.
And rules in the Senate chamber within the legislative branch allow for this to happen, correct?
That is correct. It was done in 1945. It's not very seldom done, but I sure think this warrants it to this issue, because any time that a sitting state senator, no matter where you are, and you ask for the assassination of the president of the United States, it is almost to the highest level of when we should use this to take somebody out. And regardless who the president is, regardless what their last name is, doesn't matter. They're the commander-in-chief of our country and the president of the United States, and that's who you're asking to be assassinated. And it's just, unfortunately, a shame that she said the things she did, and it's our job to try to make sure she pays.
Lieutenant Governor, walk us through the process that'll go on from here, because, look, as far as I'm concerned, you know, you got Madonna talking about blowing up the White House. You got Johnny Depp talking about assassinating. When's the last time an actor assassinated a president? And you got other people like Robert De Niro and so many others, I can't even make the long laundry list, that want to commit acts of violence against the president. And from my understanding, those are things that could be prosecutable, and these are people that could be in really big trouble if, in fact, we were enforcing the laws of the country.
That's exactly right. The Secret Service has already opened a case into this. I know they're investigating that, and I think there will be some action there because it was a threat to the presidency of the United States, but that's up to them and the federal prosecutors to decide. But, Sean, I was in law enforcement for over 20 years, and all the time people would come in the next day and say, I wish I hadn't have done that. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. But, you know, too little, too late. The average citizen out here is responsible for their actions, what they do. Politicians should be held to the same standard. And she has to take accountability for her action. And our job is to get 2/3 majority in the Senate and ask her to be expelled from the Senate. And at the end of the day, I think we will get that done in Missouri. I will be terribly disappointed if we don't.
All right. I want to thank you for your time. That's Lieutenant Governor Mike Parson on the Sean Hannity Show. How many more times are we going to have this president, threats of violence that are made against him? It is beyond outrageous. And how this has gotten away with is beyond any explanation I could ever give you. You know, it was funny because over the weekend, Hannity, and I saw this on Twitter, someone, Hannity, well, you never said that about Obama. Well, you know, Linda, put your mic on. I mean, how many times can you remember and recall I said, yeah, we have our huge political disagreements. We've got to protect the president and all elected officials, because I think I've had to say it dozens of times.
No, you've said it quite a bit. And I mean, you were actually emphatic about it. You know, the fact that regardless of who our president is, whether you disagree, agree, what have you, it is our obligation to protect the president of the United States and his family and all of the cabinet members. That's our job as a nation, to protect our elected officials.
Well, it's an attack on our country. You know, I saw Obama as duly elected. I see Trump as duly elected. And you see the forces that have aligned against the president. What are you you're telling me in my ear? You have tape of me. What did you say you had?
Yeah. We have some tape of you from when you.
Oh, great. I love hearing my own voice.
I know you hate it.
It's my favorite thing in the world.
But listen, you know, the tape doesn't lie. So let the American people hear that you played.
Oh, by the way, I can't tell the story on air, but I did text Linda's mom last Friday about Linda's behavior, and your mom sided with me. Your mom
I am shocked to hear my mother, an avid Sean Hannity fan, would side against me and with you.
Well, I now figured out that I have a nuclear weapon against you. All I have to do is go to mom. I'm going to tell mom everything.
She's a powerful
like my new
woman.
BFF. We now no. We have our own little texting group going back and forth. Me and her, we bonded. We're all good.
Congratulations.
Well, what did she say to you this weekend after I had ratted you out?
She said you were her new favorite.
And you've been her favorite your whole life.
I have. I was the firstborn, and now I am the second to you.
Well, I actually cut you slack because I was going to report you. We're obviously in this new hidden studio that we've built of ours, and so I asked you to delegate a lot of the work, and you don't listen. So I was going to rat you out on that, but I just figured
I delegated a ton of work, and Ethan, Lauren, Jason, Clay, John, everybody
was
here.
What's the first thing
busting.
I said to everybody this weekend? What's the first words that came out of my mouth today when I got on the
Thank
mic?
Thank you?
Yes. I said, thank you. I know everybody worked hard this weekend. I'm sorry. You know, I'm going to make it up to you. I want to give extra days off to everybody. Didn't I say that?
You did indeed.
Is your memory that short?
My memory's not short at all. I'm answering every question that you're asking me with the appropriate response.
All right. So what's the tape you gathered on me?
Let me play it for you because it's very good.
Mr. Speaker, you're going to have strong feelings about this. We've now learned that this guy that broke into the White House, not only did he get in the door, but he knocked down a Secret Service agent, went into the three different rooms of the White House, and passed the stairs that would have gone right up to the residence of the Obamas. That is extraordinarily chilling to me.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you're talking about protecting the President of the United States of America, and it's just there's no room for error. You've got to protect our president. That represents the free world. So they've got a very difficult job. They've got to almost be perfect. And anytime any incident happens, lately it's becoming pretty high profile. Well, and if we're not protecting our president, we're not protecting our leaders, we've got a big problem. The rest of the world is watching this.
Why did you get those? You just decided to pull them up for no reason?
You know, we like to be prepared here at the Sean Hannity Show, and we anticipate that people are going to say certain things were never said. So we just keep a little collection and notes and, you know, carefully
detailed. Just ask the staff, because you were so hesitant in responding. What's it, Lauren? By the way, Lauren didn't tell the audience that she upped my score when Linda was away for a week to 95, didn't you?
You made an improvement.
For the week, I got a 95. You said you didn't want to say it on the air, but you told me privately it's really a 95. Why did you give me an 80 on air or 75?
I just like to mess with you sometimes. You are a 95. Ugh. You're always a 95. Sometimes you're a 100. Sometimes you're 110.
Okay, now so what is the first thing I said to everybody when I got on the mic today? Well, first thing I said,
thank you. Everyone needs to take time off now.
And I said, everyone gets extra time off, right?
It was very nice of you. And I said, Linda needs to take the most time.
Jason, did I say that?
Yes, you did, sir.
And Ethan, I said that?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
I can see you're all prepared to put your microphones on.
You see, the problem is, let's have a little come to Jesus with the audience. We're in a new studio today. Not everything is working the way that it should, unfortunately.
And who is the one person that is not getting wigged out about it?
You, which is amazing.
No, it's not amazing, because I know how difficult it is. We've been through studio changes before, and I just came in with my patient hat because I know everybody was working hard, and it's inevitable. You get a new studio, it's never going to work perfectly. It's impossible. I've been doing this 30 years. A new studio is never going
to
work.
I think I have the Eclipse to thank for this new take on perspective today. I want to thank the universe for
No. Anything good I do is because of your mother.
Oh, well then. Thank you, Mom, and the Eclipse.
Because your mom is my new BFM. By the way, BFF, I know that the crew is looking at you like, what? He wrote your mother?
Yeah, everyone's
wrote
a little
your
like,
mom?
What's going on? She's a powerful woman, man, I tell you.
I like Linda's mom.
Oh,
I not text with her.
You text with her, too?
Occasionally.
Well, she texts with the whole team? I mean, she texts everybody?
Yeah, you're not that special, Sean.
Well, according to Linda, I'm the new favorite. So
that's what she told me. She said, She said, I just want to tell you I love you very much, but Sean and I are new besties, and you're just going to have to take a backseat for a while. And I said, okay, Mom.
Oh, no, I won't win the war. I mean, you're blood.
Okay. You can win one battle. I'll take the war.
Listen, no, I'm going to what I'm going to do is I'm going to take it and move it so that, you know, Linda was so distracted. So I'm trying to make new business arrangements, and you wouldn't pay attention. So finally, I just said, you know what? I'm just going to text your mother. And I texted your mother, and it worked. And then your mother starts making excuses for you, which I found hilarious. All right, let's get to
our
phones.
If I would call them excuses, but okay.
Oh, no, they were excuse. Well, one was an excuse.
Uh-huh.
No, it's just, excuse is the wrong word. You're right. She was defending you by giving me context and texture. Is
well
that better?
Said, boss. Well said. Thank you, Solar Eclipse. All right.
All right. Let's go to Sheldon is in Massachusetts in Bridgewater. What's up, Sheldon? How are you? Glad you called.
Hello, Sean. You've been talking about the alt-left, and I don't think it actually exists as the alt-left. And I'll tell you what I think. The alt-right, there are people out there, white supremacists, KKK, extremists on the far right, that take parts of what conservatism is and try and claim it. And at those points, people like you, myself, even the President of the United States come out and say, they're not one of us. We condemn that. On the other side of the issue, though, when an extremist group like Black Lives Matter burns down Baltimore or they kill policemen in Dallas or Ferguson. President Obama,
I don't know if they. I don't recall that. I know that they've been involved in agitation and these extremist groups, and we know about Antifa and things they've been involved in. I don't remember specific blame given to those groups in the Dallas incident. Linda, do you remember that? I don't remember that at all. But listen, we know what they. We know who these groups are. We know Black Lives Matter said we want dead cops and we want them now. I just don't remember them being involved in the Dallas case.
In the press conference that President Trump had last week, where he blamed both sides and he said both sides are wrong, the media immediately got their back up and started complaining about it. And I think the real reason is because they don't disavow anything that an extremist does on their side. They embrace it. They say, well, they have a reason to do it. There's something wrong in their culture or in their lives that are causing them to do it, unlike those on the extreme right. And so for that reason, I say that they're all of the what we are calling or you are calling the alt-left, they're just mainstream leftists or mainstream liberals.
Look, listen, one of the things that I noticed over the weekend, the majority of the protesters, you know, are 99% of them. They're there and they were protesting for something good against racism and against prejudice and against bigotry. Now, as a conservative, I am against racism and prejudice and bigotry. And the best part is the 99%+ were well-behaved. Now, I saw the clashes with the cops. I saw a Trump guy walking through the crowd. And in spite of some people being hostile, there were others saying, hey, leave that guy alone. And I was proud of the people that said, leave that guy alone. No violence. So those were protesters. Maybe I disagree with some of them politically, but I stand with them. I'm against bigotry and I'm against racism. And this false caricature and false narrative about conservatives all this year has been a big lie. And Democrats have used this as part of their election strategy for too many years. And I am not going to allow them to hijack conservatism and turn it into something it is not. There's no conservative that I know that is a racist and a bigot. And if they are, I want nothing to do with them, period. That's why if you're going to protest peacefully, good. Because it's an evil and a sickness for people to be that twisted and not understand we're all God's children. And I'm a Christian, and that's what I believe. 800-941-SHAWN is our number. All right, that's going to wrap things up for today. Now, the president is going to give a big Oval Office address tonight on Afghanistan, Korea, and the safety and security of our homeland. We'll be covering that at 9. We'll have full, complete reaction to that at 10, the events over the weekend as well. And we'll also have a wide variety of guests. Newt Gingrich reacts and much, much more. That's 10 Eastern tonight. Hannity, Fox News. Hope you'll join us. Thank you for being with us, as always. And we'll see you tonight at 10 and back here tomorrow.